Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about fear, worry, and anxiety and about conquering these things in your life as Christians. And we certainly know God's will on that, don't we? Psalm 37 says, "Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil." If you look over at Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Don't be anxious about your life." If you look at Joshua chapter 1, God says, "Don't be frightened, be strong and of good courage." So we know God's will in this, don't we? But sometimes it's very difficult for us to conquer fear, worry, and anxiety. So let's talk about those today and what God teaches us in His Word. Now, we won't have every last possible technique in this sermon, but there are some special principles and techniques that God gives us, especially in the story of David when he fights against the giant Goliath. For fear, worry, and anxiety, a lot of times to us, are like giants, aren't they? They come knocking and pounding at our door, trying to get in and overpower us. And we need to be able to face those giants and strike them down like David did. So we're going to look especially at David today about how he conquered the giants so that we can conquer our fears, worries, and anxieties through what God teaches us. First, I just want to acknowledge that we all face fears, worries, and anxieties, don't we? I mean, some of us maybe a little more than others. We have different personalities. We have different histories, the way we grew up maybe. We have different life circumstances. Some are in a better, easier situation than other people. And so we all face these things. We face, you know, financial stresses, worries maybe with work or health. Like my dad has had difficulties recently. God's delivered him, but that's a kind of fearful thing to hear a scary diagnosis. Besides that, we've just had a crazy year. I mean, we have anxieties on regular years, not to mention that this year has been especially difficult for many people, such that anxiety has been very high for a lot of people with the topsy-turvy, upside-down craziness that we've gone through in 2020. So let's take a look and see how, though God teaches us to conquer these things, fear, worry, and anxiety, through His Word, especially through the story of David and Goliath, because God, I'll tell you, has some fantastic teachings for us that have so super blessed me in my life. I'm excited to share with you today. So let's just get the context again of that story. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know the story, but it always is great to hear it again, refreshing us. We read, "And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." They say it's about over nine feet. "He had a helmet of bronze on his head, that he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had greaves of bronze upon his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come up to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.'" Verse 11, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." There's our topic for the day: fear, worry, and anxiety. Wouldn't you be afraid? Well, these guys certainly shook in their boots. One man, though, was not afraid. That was David, God's chosen. He not only faced the giant without fear, but slew him. So how did he do it? What kind of principles does God have us for slaying our giants of fear, worry, and anxiety today through this story? Let's take a look at those. I'm excited to share this with you. The first key principle we see here, technique, if you will, for conquering every fear that comes against you is where you train your eyes, the eyes of your heart. Think about this. This is right here in the scriptures. We read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. So say the word saw. That has to do with your eyes, doesn't it? The very next line says, and the men of Israel said, here's their question, have you seen the man who has come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. So say the word seen. So you see, God is giving us a clue, a secret here in Scripture. It's where we train our eyes, the eyes especially of our hearts and our minds, not just our outer ones, that give us fear. Whenever we see something coming against us that looks like a Goliath, that is strong and mighty, that seems to us, and we esteem it to be stronger than we are, and it's dangerous, and it's coming to get you, whatever it may be it a Goliath, or an enemy, or a stress, or a disease, or death itself, or whatever, if it seems bigger than you are, it's coming to get you, and you train the eyes of your heart upon that enemy, you will be afraid. That's just the way it works. That's the way it works. It follows your eyes, where you train your eyes. For the Israelites, the army, perceived that he was strong and they had but little power. There's no way we're going to match this guy in strength by comparison. Therefore, they were afraid because of what they saw. Amen? So this is so key for us to where we train our eyes. God's teaching us here this very thing. Whenever you see something bigger than you are coming at you, that's what you're afraid of. Now, it's not everything that we see that makes us afraid, right? I mean, if you're swimming in the ocean over here and you see a minnow swim by your toes, you're not afraid of that because it's just a minnow. It's smaller than you are. But if you're out a little ways and you see a huge shark fin coming at you, you get afraid because of what you see seems bigger than you are, stronger than you are. Therefore, you're afraid, worried, and anxious because of what your eyes see. And this Goliath seems to them a massive brute. And he was taunting and defying them and raging against them, and he's coming to get them. So they were afraid. They were looking, guys, with the eyes of the flesh. What did David do? A man, the only man on that day who was not afraid of the giant. He too saw the giant with his eyes of his flesh, but he looked at the situation with the eyes of his heart, with faith at God. And we can see that that's the truth, that David was looking not at Goliath, but at God in that situation. For what does he say? He says, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Where's his eyes? On the living God. Israel is looking at Goliath, they're afraid. David is looking at God, and therefore he's not afraid. Because if you look at Goliath and compare him to yourself, he's bigger than I am. He's going to come and crush me like a bug. David says, I'm looking at God, and in comparison with him, Goliath is a pipsqueak. He's a little tiny bug that needs to be crushed. He is undefended, unshielded, unprotected, naked, defenseless, empty, loud-mouthed boaster who needs a lesson taught to him. And so David was mightily courageous. He said, let no man's heart fail because of that guy, he told King Saul. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So here's the great principle for us. What is making you afraid today? What are you worried about? What are you anxious about? I ask you, and you're going to answer this in your own heart, where are you looking? Are you looking with the eyes of your flesh at what is coming against you? Then you're going to be afraid. If you're looking with the eyes of faith at God who's standing over your problem, you're going to be courageous. You're going to be brave. You're going to be bright in your faith because by comparison, whatever's coming against you, if you're a Christian, it is no match for the living God who gives you the victory through Jesus Christ. Think about what John says in 1 John 4. He says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Overcoming the whole world. What is it? Mike, our faith. Where you put your eyes. Think about this principle also in the New Testament. When Peter is in the boat in the storm at sea and Jesus is walking upon the water. Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water, cries Peter. And Jesus says, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, say saw. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. Again, because of what he saw. His eyes, they turned from the Lord to this Goliath wave, and he was afraid. And so he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. He's turning back in the right direction. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt? In other words, why did you take your eyes off of me and put it on that roaring, breaker? Why didn't you keep your eyes upon me? Come on, man, look at me. And he raised him up. We see this principle with Moses. Moses, Hebrews 11 says, by faith, he, Moses, left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So once again, Moses wasn't afraid of Pharaoh, didn't shake it off, not afraid of this guy, because he saw the invisible God. So I tell you, this is God's first principle to us today from the Word of God. If you're afraid of anything today, you're probably looking at Goliath. It's just the way it is. You'll be afraid if you do. If you want to be brave, if you want peace, if you want courage, doesn't mean you're not going to be a little jittery because you got to have some adrenaline to fight a Goliath. But if you want courage in your heart, look to the living God, set the eyes of your hearts on him, and bravery will come. It's just plain the way it works. Now, that may sound like, okay, yeah, I get it, but it's very hard to do, Pastor, because in the midst of the battle, it's very hard to get your eyes off Goliath and onto God. So God gives us another fantastic clue, principle, technique here in this story, which has been revealed to me really this summer. It's so super helped me. I hope it super helps you. I know it will if you put it to practice. And here it is. Ready? If you want to train your eyes on God and not on Goliath, you've got to ask the right questions of yourself. Now let's see this actually in the scriptures. The very first thing we hear out of the army of Israel, when they quaked and shook in their boots at Goliath, their very first thing that came out of their lips was this. They asked, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. Now let me ask you, is that a good question or a bad question to ask? Where is that going to train your heart? Have you seen this man? What's the obvious answer to that? Yeah, I've seen him. He's huge. He's angry. He's a brute. He's impenetrable, he's unstoppable, he's angry, and he's coming to get me, and he wants to squish me like a bug. Now, if that is the question you ask, and that's the answer that's obviously going to be the answer to that question, what's going to be the state of your heart? Brave or fearful? Fearful, because you asked the wrong question. You asked a fleshy question that's going to give you things that are going to just fill you with dread and terror and worry and such things. But look at David. What does he do? He asked a better question. The very first thing that comes out of David in this whole scene, in this whole event, was this. He asked, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Now, what is the obvious answer to that question? Well, he's going to get riches. He's going to get honor. He's going to get the king's own daughter for a wife. He's going to be a royal son. He's going to deliver Israel. He's going to set the people free. He's going to know the thrill of victory. All those are obvious answers to that question. Good question, David. It was a question, though, that led to a faith answer. And then he asked a second follow-up question. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, what is the obvious answer to that faith-filled question? Well, the answer to that is, compared to God, this uncircumcised Philistine is a nobody. He is a nothing. He is a fly. He is a speck. He's a bug to be crushed. He is disarmed, naked, defeated, defenseless, an empty, loudmouthed boaster. He is no match for God. In a word, he's mincemeat. Right? It's a good question, David. And it gave a great answer, which then led to courage and bravery in his heart. He already had faith in his heart by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but he asked a great faith-filled question, which only increased his faith by the answer that came from it. And here's been the super key for me, because guess what? You know me before today. I've wrestled with my whole life with anxiety, with worry and fears. I've conquered them by courageously going forward, but I still wrestle with them a lot, maybe more than some of you. But I found, even this summer, putting this principle of questions into practice, anytime my mind starts to go in the direction of negativity or fear or worry or something, and you start to loop and you keep asking the same thing, catch myself right away now. I have a list of questions, which I'm going to give you at the end, some questions, and I immediately ask myself a faith-filled question. For example, you could say this if you're sick, don't ask if you get a bad diagnosis, am I dying? Is it over? How long do I have? That's what we usually say, right? What's the obvious answer to that? Yeah, you're toast. You're over. Your life's done. It's going to be terrible. You're going to be in pain. How are you going to feel? Fearful. Why don't you ask another question? You could, same situation, ask this. Is God my healer? Is God my helper or not? What's the obvious answer to that? Yes, he is. And he's going to be with me. He won't leave or forsake me. How about this one? If you have a financial crisis or a job problem, what if you say, what if I lose my job and go bankrupt and end up on the streets? It's going to be the state of your heart. Fearful, worried, anxious, maybe more than you need to. What about a better question? How about this? What opportunities is God opening up before me by this present crisis? And isn't it God who takes care of me? What am I not trusting in God for in this situation? Can I put my trust in him for those things right now? Now, if you spend not just a passing moment, but 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes answering that question, by the time you're done, you're going to be standing like Goliath. Or sorry, you're like David against Goliath, without fear, chin up, strong and tall, speaking him down. How about in this present COVID crisis, 2020? A lot of people are asking the wrong questions, including Christians. Yikes! Is this the end of the world? Will the economy crash? Will I starve? Will mobs and violence come to my streets? Will they come to get me? You know, what's the obvious answer to those questions? You know, boom, you're dead. You're going to be feeling terrible. How about you ask a faith-filled question? Why don't you ask this? Is God in control of all this? Did COVID-19 take God by surprise? Will God provide a way for me through this? Has he always provided for me a way through in the past? What makes this one any different from that one? Will this Goliath not fall like all the rest that have fallen before me before? How is God using this present crisis to shape me into the image of Jesus Christ? Take minutes to answer this question, okay? The more you do, the better you'll get. Was I not born for such a time as this? What has God promised to do for me in this crisis, in the scriptures, to encourage me? How is this a great adventure for me to go through with God? And all such questions will lead you to answers that turn your eyes to the living God, and very soon fear is going to dissolve like mist before the sun. And the sun will rise, the Son of God, Jesus, and you will be shining your faith bright and bravery in your heart. It's just plain the way it works. But let me give you this word, is you've got to practice it. You can't just say, oh, that was a really nice sermon, and forget about it during pancakes after service. You've got to use it, and you've got to use it often, and the more I use it, the better I'm getting, to the point I don't even get negative anymore. I just see courage rising in me. I just ask the question, I answer the right answers, and pretty soon I'm saying, who's this uncircumcised Philistine, whatever it may be, that he should defy the armies of the living God? So if you want a courageous heart, number one, look to God. Number two, ask the right questions leading to faith. And number three, we need to speak out the answers out loud. So say the word out loud, out loud. All right. We cannot fight Goliath like a church mouse, okay? If fear, worry, and anxiety comes to knock and pound on the door, seeking to gain entrance into your heart and mind, you cannot answer him quietly. You've got to shout back. It's a shouting match. Look at David and Goliath. For when this Philistine looked at David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, ruddy and comely in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, I would say, probably yelled tauntingly, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now the Philistine said to David, come to me, you know, you little boy. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. So notice, Goliath, whatever it may be, comes against you shouting, saying, be afraid of me, be afraid of me, be afraid of me. He's very loud. You can't answer him quietly. You've got to shout back louder than he shouted, just like David did. For after this taunting, what did David say? He says, Goliath, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with spear and sword, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Notice the power of those words. He spoke them out with strength, and he ran at the Philistine and struck him down with a stone and killed him and cut off his head and got the victory. We also look to God, ask the questions, but give the answers out loud. If you're afraid, start speaking. If you are in a public place, go to a bathroom and speak. No wonder what's coming out of the stall, these words of faith roaring like a lion. Go into your home, into your closet, and say, I will not be afraid of you. And speak in these kinds of ways the words and the promises of God. For when trouble or the enemy or Goliath or the devil says to you, be afraid of me, you say no. Hebrews 13 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The enemy says, you can't conquer me. I'm too strong for you. You say no, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God doesn't love you, he cries. And you shout back, and this is love. Not that we love God, but he sent his son he loved us and sent his son to be the expiation for our sins. God's not with you, he cries. You cry back, Psalm 56, this I know, that God is for me. You're not really saved. You're not really forgiven. No, Ephesians 1 tells me, in him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of my trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon me. God isn't with you. You're all alone fighting against me. You say, no. He's promised, I'm with you always to the close of this age. You come against me and my God. I will never fail you nor forsake you, says God to me. And he's also promised me, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So you stand down. So we got to do it. And it might take a few minutes. It's not like one word and you're done. It's a battle. But you got to look to God, ask the right questions, and fight with the words. The walls of Jericho fell down by a shout. So you shout against your Goliath, and he's coming down, because the shout of faith will always win the day when you're shouting the words of Scripture. And so do these things and practice them. As David got victory over Goliath, you will get the victory. For Scripture says this, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.